When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In honor of Star Wars Day, May the 4th, we decided to re-release this episode we recorded with our late friend Jamal Wallace Knight about the original trilogy. Check it out. I hope you enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2 podcast. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me as always is my co-host, the effervescent...
Matthew Skywalker.
Matthew Haas.
Okay.
Of the House of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And joining us today... is our return guest, our good friend, and Sith Lord. No, wait.
No.
Master Jedi, Jamal Wallace Knight.
From the House of Finn.
The House of Finn. I think that's race. I'm joking. Anyways, so how is everybody today?
Good.
Doing good. Real good.
Okay, so today we are going to be talking about the original Star Wars trilogy. That started with 1977's Episode 4, which has been retitled A New Hope since then. So let's start out and talk about that one. What are your thoughts, Jamal, on A New Hope?
Okay. Well, for starters, as you said, it came out in 1977. At that time, I was negative 7 years old at the time. First time I saw A New Hope was in 1992. That was the first time I saw it. At the time, I was still, you know, kid. I was wild, blown away. Now that I'm older, my thought about Episode 4, I still kind of question to this day, like, why did they always start off with the whole series at Episode 4? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always been a question of mine. I like the movie. I do. It actually, now that we're all older now, it finally makes sense as to all the other episodes of the series. So, yeah, that was
it. Well, I think the reason that they started with Episode 4 is because it was based on the like serials that would play at movie theaters, like a movie serial like Flash Gordon's and things of that nature. And those would each have a different episode. And he kind of wanted to just be like, you're just joining mid-story in a way. Or in mid-story in this universe. Even though it is a complete story, you know.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that it did do a great thing is it did break barriers as far as with movies. And because now you see movies that kind of like start off either in the middle or at the end and then rewind itself to the beginning.
So. Yeah. I mean, I when I was in college, I was not inspired by this, but I just randomly decided to make a movie called The Chronicles of Love and Life, Volume 2, Elizabeth, which I am remaking shortly, and I'm not calling it that. I'm calling it Goodnight, Elizabeth. Anyways, but yeah, the idea is kind of cool. So what is your thoughts, Matthew?
I liked the movie. That's, you know,
that's all you have
that's
to
all
say.
I have to say about it. No. But
that going, was deep, man.
Well, going after what you were saying too about you know, at first he just was planning on making one movie. He, you know, I mean, he, at some points he said he always wanted to be nine movies. I don't believe that. But so it was just Star Wars when it just came out. It, like the first when you saw it in the movies, it just said Star Wars. It didn't say episode 4 or whatever. And then when he got the idea to make, because I think at that time he had maybe already had the idea of making the prequels, like even way before he actually started making them in like 1999 or whatever. So at that point, he's like, well, this is episodes 4 through 6 then, because then we're going to tell the story of how Anakin kind of became Darth Vader, and then that's how episode 1 through 3 came about, like 15, 17 years later or whatever. So I think that's personally why it started saying like episode 4 and 5 and 6, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
That's just my own personal theory, but
that's your own personal theory?
Yeah, you know, don't call up George Lucas and ask, you know, oh, Matt Skywalker
well,
said
surprise everybody. On the phone right now is no one. Anyways, But, definitely not George Lucas.
But I liked it. I mean, just like I was saying before, like when we were watching it, like I got like teary eyed, like just like seeing Princess Leia when she inserts that card into R2-D2 and says, "Obi-Wan, you're my only hope." I could still like that scene, just that beginning of the movie, because that's like that's what sets up the whole series. Is the you know the ship is under attack by the stormtroopers. Princess Leia's got to send out this like just like last message, just you know, hoping against hope that someone will find it. And then she gets, you know, taken as prisoner by her father, which she doesn't even know is her father.
Yes.
And I don't think he knew that she was his daughter at that time either.
So. And I don't think George Lucas knew either.
Nope, I don't think.
I'm not, knows now. Not trying
see,
to.
See, sometimes retconning is okay. Sometimes retcons work. It's not always a bad thing.
See, that's a problem I have with a lot of retconning. It's like, okay, the coolest retcon is, you know, no, I am your father. Mm-hmm. You know, when Vader says that. But then, everybody in Hollywood, and especially in the Star Wars universe, is like, oh, that worked, so let's make everybody related to everybody.
Whatever do you mean?
Nothing. We'll talk about that later. But I'm just even talking, not even just in Star Wars. Like, it happens in TV shows, and, I mean, it's always happened, though. It's a soap opera trope.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not like something that Lucas created himself. I mean, because you'll have that on a soap opera where like the bad guy, the hero of the soap opera or whatever, you know, the good doctor or whatever, you know, or the good lawyer of the town, you know, the good mayor or whatever the fuck, you know, finds out that the evil mobster is his dad and he's like, oh no, right. You know, something like that.
Or he's got a twin brother who kills him and then takes over.
Yeah.
And then,
well, you know, you think about it, just like you said, actually yourself, like a soap opera, and that is one way of looking at Star Wars.
Well,
like,
it's a space opera.
It's a space opera,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So
instead of selling soap, you're selling space, right?
Yeah, well,
is that what it is?
You know, yeah, exactly.
And because that's why soap operas are called soap operas.
Yeah, you know.
Because you were selling soap.
And the Empire was like the space force. So, yeah.
Right. Right. Yes. Yep. Good old space force.
Yes. I'm joining. I don't know about you.
Joining the Academy?
Yes.
All right, cool.
You know, because I'm tired of working on these moisture farms and so yeah, I mean my feeling is I think it's one of the most revolutionary and probably the most influential film in cinema history after Citizen Kane maybe or maybe equal with it, especially anything that came after 1977 in the science fiction genre or the action genre or anything was very much influenced by this film. That's my initial thoughts on it. And I mean, the special effects are just amazing in it. Not the new edited special edition special effects necessarily. Some of them are good, but, right. You know, but I don't know. I don't like a lot of the added bullshit. or wampa shit or something, whatever you want to call it. And anyways,
Well, you know, and that's the thing. By Star Wars Episode IV was also breaking barriers, because you're talking about the inception of industrial light magic, you know, at the time. So that was also a really big breakthrough for not just Star Wars, but in the movie industry.
Yes.
So that set, like, that movie alone, like, raised the bar. And that's what I actually think about.
And, I mean, the casting is perfect for the main characters, too. I mean, if you look, I mean, Mark Hamill is just perfect as the naive, young, you know, I want to be a, you know.
A farmer, basically. Yeah. He's a farmer.
He's a farm boy, yeah. And, I mean, he's great. And then, you know, of course, Harrison Ford is just perfect in every way.
Do you think, and this is a rhetorical, kind of a rhetorical question, do you think Tom Selleck is probably wondering, what the hell was I thinking?
Well, Tom Selleck wasn't really necessarily up for this. He was up for Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was actually the original choice to be Indiana Jones.
Oh.
And had a contract issue with Magnum P.I. The show was supposed to have been canceled, but then last minute, they renewed it for another season.
And so he had no choice but to walk
away. Wow. At least that's what I believe the story is. But yeah, I don't know if he even auditioned for this. There was talks that he might have been up for it or offered it, but I don't know. I know a lot of other people, you know, like Bruce Boxleitner and can't remember. It's like some other people auditioned for the role.
I mean, he's on like season 37 of Blue Bloods right now, so I think he's okay.
He's doing all right.
He's doing all right, you know.
And he's still a good actor. He's
not hurting. No, I know he's not. I mean,
and he's a really good guy from what I hear too. So
yeah, I've heard.
I heard he's really nice. Yeah.
Because I'm Facebook friends with Gregory Jabara. If you're listening, Greg, I don't know if you would be. Anyways, probably not. But Gregory Jabara, who's his co-star on Blue Bloods, says he's one of the nicest guys in the world, and he would do anything for anybody. So that's cool. But I mean, and then of course we have Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia, who is interesting. I mean, my only critique in here is it's just funny because she sometimes has a British accent in the first movie.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. The part where she goes, "I recognize your foul stench when I was brought on board." Is that that part?
Yeah, and it turned out later on in an interview, she was saying that she was so in awe of, what's his name, played Tarkin?
Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing, yeah. I just blanked on his name. I should know that. Anyways, she was so in awe of him that she basically started mimicking his voice.
Oh, wow.
In nervousness, and that's why she had a British accent there.
I wonder how you took that.
I don't know. I wonder. But that's kind of cool. And then you have Sir Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi. he is the epitome of your old wizard guy. You know, he's your proto Gandalf. You know, he's your
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, in movies, that is, because Lord of the Rings was written before. Anyway, but we're not going
to. I think they know that.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd like to think our audience is smart, but I don't know. Why am I whispering?
Don't insult them.
I have no idea why you're whispering right now.
No, I'm just saying I like to think they are, and I believe they are.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying sometimes I like to just share obvious facts like, "Hi, my name's Mike."
Yeah.
Or like, "Hey, we're talking about Star Wars, even though it's written in the freaking description of the episode."
Right.
But which I don't think anybody just stumbled on accidentally.
you never know. Maybe they were bored one night. Who knows?
It went on autoplay. Yeah, could happen.
Yeah, I guess it could happen.
Sometimes it happens. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but Obi-Wan Kenobi is, or old Ben Kenobi, is a hermit. With lots of mystery.
Yeah, he lives by himself, way far from everyone else.
He's a bachelor.
They kind of look after Luke, basically, from afar, kind of.
So he's a stalker.
No, he's more of like a guardian. He's a guardian, which is what he was. I mean, that was actually his actual title as a Jedi. He was a guardian Jedi because he had the blue lightsaber, and that's what that's stands for. I'm kind of getting into weird Star Wars theory.
Oh, that's fine.
That's good. But that's what the blue saber is kind of mean, the guardian. So He was so, the guardian
so
of
right
Luke.
Now, Jamal's talking with a microphone with a blue
Ooh.
Top to it. So is he a guardian?
Yeah. But I got the red one. I don't want to be a Sith.
I'm sorry.
Oh, damn it.
I got the yellow one.
Yeah, but well,
that's what... That's,
mum is the word. I don't give that away, right?
Yeah, yellow is...
interesting color.
Yes. So, what, what was your favorite scene in A New Hope, Jamal?
Only one scene?
Only? I mean, what?
Okay. Well, I have several, but I will narrow it down to one for respective airtime.
Thank you.
The episode, the part I like was when Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader, when they were all having a meeting, and Vader started choking him, and he said, "I find your lack of faith disturbing."
Yes. I love that. Yeah.
What is your favorite scene, okay. Matthew?
Matthew Skywalker?
Matthew
Can't be the same as mine.
He's going to call me by my real name because he likes to bring me back down to reality.
Well, Jamal is Jamal Wallace Jedi Knight.
Okay. Ooh, I like that. Okay, so my favorite scene is a very... It's not even like significant in the movie. It's just one of my favorite lines ever in any movie. I don't know what it is. But emotionally gets to me because like C-3PO is like kind of like a human being. Like he's got emotions and stuff. And it's right after they escape or they crash the ship and they're on the desert. Mm-hmm. And C-3PO says, I think we were just made to suffer. It's our lot in life. And like for some reason, that line is so sad. Hearing like a nice little robot say that with his little friend wheeling about in the sand. It's like so cute, but at the same time, it's so like depressing. But it's like a good kind of... No, it's sad is what it is. It's not depressing. It's sad. Because it's a sadness that kind of allows for emotions to come out. Whereas depression's more of an inward thing. So it's more of like a cathartic... kind of, I don't know what I'm saying.
It was like a form of clinical depression.
But so I like, yeah. But I like that scene a lot.
I like that. I like, I think my favorite part in the first film is actually when Luke rescues Leia and she criticizes him for being a little short for a stormtrooper.
Right.
And then I like when he takes off his helmet and it's like, "My name is Luke Skywalker and I'm here to rescue you." It's like so optimistic and.
Right. He's like such a boy in this movie. He's like 18 or 17 or whatever.
He like ages so much from this movie to the next movie, even though it was only a couple of years.
Right.
But it's like...
Well, that's what happens when you live on an ice planet. You're cold and bitter. And
It does happen. You know, they may age differently in a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
You know?
Yes, they do.
Or a long time ago.
Right.
So, I don't... I mean, is anything else you want to say about the first film?
No, that's it. No, it's just good. In general, it's one of my favorite. I mean, Empire is probably my favorite of the first trilogy. But
yeah,
I just like the introduction of Lord Vader. If you notice, he kind of is sarcastic in A New Hope. He's kind of got like he actually sounds kind of like Anakin Skywalker in the prequel trilogy. He's kind of got this sort of sarcasm. Which is, you know, interesting because, you know, Darth Vader, he's supposed to be like this really, you know, fearsome dude, and yet he kind of cracks wise a little bit here and there. And I noticed throughout the series, he kind of gets more and more serious, but like in A New Hope, he's kind of like almost does pranks on people, like, you know, like chokeholds that guy. Like, that guy clearly understands that the Force is real. I don't know why he would make fun of it, but.
I'm not an expert, Matt, but I don't think someone who's choking you and you're. Grasping for air is a prank.
Just
throwing that out.
It's his version of a prank, you know, because he's so dark that to him that's a joke, you know.
Okay.
Guy almost killed you. It was funny. You know?
I shouldn't choke my friends.
No, you should not.
Damn it! My plans for later have changed.
Oh, well, you know.
Well, you know. Don't worry. There's always Facebook.
and plus two the. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
The fighting scene when Luke blows up the Death Star, that's a really good scene. I love that scene. It's like 10 minutes long or something like that. Way better than the pod race and the Phantom Menace, in my opinion. But, you know, they all have their place, I guess. But
can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The only issue I have with that scene with Death Star blowing up Now, the 1977 version and the version I saw growing up, I'm okay with that. But in the special edition of A New Hope, when the Death Star blew up, the shockwave goes lateral. How the hell did that happen? Like, you're in space. Like, how did it just make a big ring lateral like that? Like,
right. Well, we're also hearing it's in a different galaxy, so maybe it's different though.
I mean, right. That's like if I jumped out of a window and I go up.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah, I didn't even notice that, but
gravity's different there, I guess.
I suppose. Must be the south side of the galaxy.
Maybe they were just meant to show like how powerful the blast was that it, but still it would think it would go outward, not, you know,
up. Well, yeah, also you can hear the like lasers firing and stuff in space, and you really can't in real space.
Right,
because there's no sound. Because there was sound, we could breathe. Mm-hmm. You know?
So obviously that space though too is that you can't breathe in it because you need to be covered. So that's aspect of space apparently is parallel to our galaxy, but not the sound part. You get to hear sound in that space, so that's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's you get an extra little, you know.
So it's favoritism, so they just put sound.
Yeah, I don't think they were thinking that far ahead. I think
some interesting facts here about the movie, just some random trivia. David Prowse and James Earl Jones, who play the body and the voice of Darth Vader, have never met.
Mm.
Really?
Yes. And I just find that really interesting.
Wow.
David Prowse, of course, being the man who trained Christopher Reeves, to play Superman.
Yes.
He trained him into, you know, bodybuilding, and because he was a bodybuilder.
Mm.
He was a really, really big guy. You know, he was like a... That's why, you know, when you see him, like, he actually, in one of those scenes, when he actually picked someone up, he actually just picked up the dude himself.
Yeah.
Or was that the Return of the Jedi, I think it was?
I think something like that, yeah. During the trash compactor scene, Mark Hamill held his breath so long that he popped a blood vessel in his face.
Oh. Oh, wow.
And so they had to shoot all the rest of his scenes from the one side of his face.
Wow.
To hide it.
That would make a lot of sense on those scenes now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Mark Hamill, studio executives were unhappy that Chewbacca had no clothes and attempted to have the costume redesigned with shorts.
Oh my god.
How do you put shorts on all that fur?
I don't know. Why would you want to wear shorts if you're all furry?
Right.
It's like I never get it when people put clothes on their dogs.
Oh.
I mean, it's cute, yeah. But your dog doesn't really fucking need it. Your dog doesn't need a coat.
He does, though.
No, he doesn't, damn it. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say, Matthew. Your dog does not need a coat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to argue this till I die.
A leather jacket, you know, type of... You
know. Well,
so you're putting cow skin on top of your dog's skin.
I didn't say it was cow skin.
I think what happened
is... said leather.
Well, pleather.
Well, to be fair, they would overheat. Because if you did wear the sweater or wear a coat, the dog would overheat. So he would be a hot dog.
Yeah, he would. Yes, he would.
That was a wiener, man.
And my dog is female, so I'm not sure why I keep saying he... I don't know.
Let's take a break, guys.
Yeah, sure.
We'll come back and we're going to talk about the second episode in this trilogy, The Empire Strikes Back. We'll be back as well.
Hi, folks. This is Michael E. Cullen II from the podcast that you're listening to right now, along with
manager Matthew Haas.
You got promoted?
Yes.
Damn it. Okay, anyways, folks, do you like the show Superstore? I don't know. I asked the folks and nobody's answering
me. Well, because they're not here.
Oh,
but we love
it. Yeah, we love it, though. Okay, folks, if you like it as much as we do, you're really going to like the Super Story podcast, which is a podcast where Matthew and I go episode by episode and give our little opinions and thoughts on it. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. Just depends on how we're feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you like this podcast and like our little crazy banter...
then you should definitely check this out, or I might get sad. And when I get sad, it gets pretty sad. So
I can't deal with him when he's sad.
Yeah, no one can really. So
yeah. So check out Super Story Podcast right here where you get this podcast, Super Story Podcast.
A respectable minister takes charge and leads head on.
Minister Dabal Trike may be the foremost politician of textiles.
As a minister, I have the utmost sensitivity to these situations, and if anyone's sensibilities were harmed, I would have sensed it.
But his petty ambitions will almost certainly lead us to unknown danger.
How dare you, sir! Unknown danger has its potential for profit. It's exotic.
You can hear Minister Trike and his antics in the radio comedy Magus Elgar.
Visit MagusElgar.com to download your copy today.
All Too Real 2 strikes back!
Whoa.
Okay, anyways, hopefully John Williams doesn't sue us. Anyways, let's...
Love that score.
Yes, okay, me too.
I don't own, we do not own the rights to the song. There you go. So you know we're saved.
I don't know if that's how it works.
It is. It's how, as long as we say that we're committing the crime, that we're not actually committing the crime.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm robbing a bank right now. Well, since I said it, I'm not actually doing it.
Or I don't own the rights to this money, you know?
Right. The bank. Right. I don't know. Dude, I'm only doing this for public, whatever.
I'm critiquing the money that I'm stealing
by spending it at different locations. This service works. Yes.
Yes. Money is good. It spends at the carryout down the street.
About my Swiss cake rolls and Pop Tarts and
because that's what you do when you rob a bank.
If you really want those Swiss cakes
and the slushy, don't ever
forget
the
slushy. Oh,
hey,
God.
Guys, I think we can get back on topic.
The orange,
nah, it's okay.
The orange slush. Oh, man, the orange slushy is the best. Orange. Green is... it's all right.
Anyway,
so Empire strikes back.
They eat treats in Empire or Star
Wars. Episode 5. The sequel to the original Star Wars, which was retitled The New Hope.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
So, let's start with you again, Jamal. Okay. What are your thoughts, your initial thoughts and ideas and crazy things about this film?
I got nothing. No, I'm playing. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. Episode 5. One thing I like about episode 5 is that it was a little bit more faster pace. And I also noticed it seemed more darker. In the sense of the tone, the story, the screen, the storyline was a little bit more darker. That's one of the things I noticed because, I mean, it kind of makes sense because you're dealing with the Empire, and the Empire is, let's face it, it's not, you know, romper room here. So, I mean, of course, it's going to naturally be much darker. So, that'll be my thoughts about it. So.
Totally. What are your thoughts there, Matthew?
Everything he said. That's it. No, but it is like you mean.
Deep.
It's called.
That was deep, man. I really like your thoughts.
Well, sometimes
Jamal's were kind of.
Sometimes brevity. Sometimes brevity is. Yeah. So wait, we just doing the race thing here. He says something, and then like I just go, yeah, whatever he said. Like yeah, he said it better. Well, I just literally just whatever.
You co-opted it.
There it is. But it's called The Empire Strikes Back, and it's literally because the Empire was humiliated over, this Death Star blowing up, and now they're angry and they're gonna take, revenge on, they're gonna be even more angry than they were before. Now it's personal. Before it was just, we're just building this empire and we're gonna do what we need to do. Now, it's an actual, they wanna enjoy attacking the rebellion because they feel that they've been embarrassed in front of the whole galaxy because some scrappy little, young guy was able to shoot into its retcon design flaw that we learned 40 years later of why it was so easy to destroy Death Star.
Well, no, they had the plans there. They actually knew.
Oh, okay.
Because that's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Rogue One just shows how they got the plans.
Oh, okay. All right.
They already knew that they were going to get
it. Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, I'm no Star Wars scholar here.
I am not either.
Well...
Why are we talking like this?
I don't know. But I liked... the fact that it movie started them on an ice planet. Again, cold and bitter. It's you know, it kind of it lends itself to that kind of tone of just like people just hold up, and especially cold. I mean, like, I just, me personally, I hate the cold. I don't like, if you wanted to torture me, you'd put me on an ice planet. I would just,
cold never bothered me anyway.
Well, the cold does bother me a lot. Sorry, Frozen, but sorry, Elsa. If you, you know, if you're a, if you're a fire princess, that would be better. But you know,
sounds hot.
It is. It is. God damn it.
Hot dog. Anyways,
you got me.
So, my thoughts on this movie is I've never seen it.
What, really?
I'm joking. Oh. No.
You know, what I would say right now is this was not going online.
So, no, I've seen it millions of times. Maybe not that, really. I'm exaggerating a little, well, you know, for effect. Because if I saw it millions of times, I'd be dead. Anyways.
Multiple generations, really.
Yeah. So, I watched it again today, actually. And, I really, really liked it a lot more today than I ever have. Because I see all these nuances in the movie. Like Matt was talking about the coldness of the of Hoth at the beginning and things like that, which I will tell you this. Irving Kirshner is the best person to ever direct a Star Wars film. Because this film is the best directed film ever.
Yeah.
Of this series, not ever. Mm. Of all time, because there's a lot of movies better than this. Anyways,
I agree with that.
Yeah, it is. So it's such a flawless sequel. It's like the best sequel, direct sequel to a movie ever made, in my opinion. Maybe Godfather 2, but we'll see. You know, or Bigger, Fatter, Liar. But
yep. Okay. Wait a minute. Wait, you know what?
Did y'all show? I okay. I'll just say that. Okay.
And a third, you know, close second to that is of course Kindergarten Cop 2.
Yeah.
So
let us not forget Tooth Fairy 2.
Yep.
With Dan fucking Whitney. Anyways,
you know, the last time I did a podcast with y'all brought this guy.
Yes. Okay, I didn't do it this time. He did, but yes, we
kind that was of... That's the only thing that would have made Empire better is if Dan fucking Whitney was in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And by that, you don't mean a man named Dan.
Dan fucking somebody named Whitney.
You mean an actual character, because that would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't like pornography being mixed in with Star Wars, so I would rather that not be in, yeah. in it, you know.
You don't want to get it done, right?
No, not when it comes to Star Wars. No,
no, get her done. Anyways,
damn it,
take some Prilosec. Anyways, so I really think that there's a lot of nuances in the film. To mean me, you know, being serious here.
Yeah.
It's the dialogue in this film and the human interaction and the story. Is deeper. You actually care more about the characters in this film than you did in the first movie. I mean, there was a lot of cool like one-liners and stuff in the first movie, but this, you get this feeling that Han really cares about Luke. You get, you know, he's become his older brother or friend. You know, it just seems like that. You get this feeling that you know, you get this whole like creepy love triangle between him and Leia and Luke.
They didn't know. Just for the record,
I know
they didn't know.
Yeah,
but it's pretty cool. And then you got, you know, and then Lando's in there,
right?
Later, kind of hitting on her too. But you get this feeling like she's able to read that Lando's a sleazy guy. He's still the smoothest guy in the galaxy. But
true. Oh yeah,
it's true.
So, anyways, that's my initial thoughts on it. I just think it's the best directed and acted of the three. It's, yeah.
I want to add something that Matthew said earlier, how, like, the Empire were, like, all embarrassed because, you know, they got, you know, the Death Star got destroyed by the Rebels. It, you know, it seemed like in this episode, it was more like, the Empire, instead of them going throughout the galaxy trying to take over planets and kill people, they just focused all their attention on Rebellion. Like, it was like, okay, you know what? We'll get to the galaxy later. Let's get to them first. Let's get them out the way. Then we'll go and terrorize people
there's
later.
There's not a whole lot of space battle.
Right.
Which is fine. I really liked the battle on Hoth. It's just like it feels like a real war movie. Mm. It, you know, it's like probably the most war movie of this trilogy.
Kind of, honestly, now this is just my personal thought. When the battle, like when we were fighting on Hoth, it seemed like how the Battle of Bulge was when they were stuck out there and they were fighting out in the cold. It was like in the middle of December when they were doing that. Yeah.
So next thing is, what's your favorite scene in this film, Jamal?
Okay, and I can tell you right away. My favorite scene is when Han Solo was guiding through the asteroid belt, and he was trying to get away from the TIE fighters, and he was like cruising through the asteroid belt and things like that. Yes, I thought that scene was cool. I love that.
And then he got swallowed by that.
Well, not swallowed.
He
flew into it, but he did not get digested. So, you know, it was kind of like having something underneath your tongue, you know, something like that.
Well, you can still swallow something and not digest it, because then you can vomit it up.
It's kind of an academic, you know.
I suffer from acid reflux, so I know how this happens. So,
and that's the after pilot sect.
And see, I'm telling you, Dan fucking Whitney.
I was about to say that.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say it too. So like, it's okay.
I was like, half a second.
We all had the same thought.
Okay, Zantac. There you go. Yes. Zantac 75.
Yeah. I take that too. Anyways.
Be careful though, because apparently.
Oh, no, I don't take that anymore.
That could be a carcinogens in those. So.
Oh, I changed that. I forgot. I don't take that anymore. They changed me.
Good.
To some
good.
Other.
Good.
I think it's I don't know what the heck it is. It's like some other one of those fucking.
It's Prilosec.
No, I do take that. I take the Omniprazole.
Three wheeler. I'm gonna eat my corn dog with donuts on it. Yeah. Eat whatever I want. Sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to say for the record, I'm not in no way trying to veer off subject. But you know about Dan Whitney. You know, look, all I'm gonna say is he's not a bad guy. He has a master's degree, or bachelor's or something like that, I believe.
Doesn't mean I'm not a bad guy just because he has a college degree, though. I mean,
I was going to say, I know plenty of people with master's degrees that are evil fuckers.
Do you mean like he's saying he's smart or something? Like,
he is really smart.
He's a character. That's his character.
That's the issue I have with him.
He plays this.
Is the fact that he is not Larry the Cable Guy.
Right.
He's trying to cater to these people, this blue collar comedy people.
Quote, yeah.
That. Do not deserve him.
Okay. But, you know, in fairness, now we all work in show business. We all do. So, hey, it helps pay the bills, you know? I mean,
it does. He's a millionaire. I mean, he's got his money. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he's the Kid Rock of comedy. Anyways,
I even swore to myself, I don't want to talk about Dan Whitney here, because last time you seemed a little bit offended, and I was like, let's not talk about Dan Whitney, but then he brings it up, and I'm like, oh, well, now I got to join in.
I'm not offended.
Tooth Fairy too.
I'm not offended. I just love how it just gets fitted into a sentence.
It's because
that's funny.
You don't understand. When we saw Tooth Fairy 2, it was the god-off, if you even listen to that podcast, you can hear my voice is seething with anger.
Don't worry, folks, we're still talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, we are. Okay. And what I'm saying is I was stuttering, I was sputtering, I was accidentally spitting my words out because of how much I hated the Tooth Fairy 2. I mean, it like made my blood boil.
Oh, Lord. Good Lord.
And I'm pretty sure it was Tooth Fairy 2 and not Jingle All the Way 2, which wasn't as bad as Tooth Fairy 2.
And I'm going to assume Dan Whitney was in Jingle All the Way 2.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. And it had some of the same actors from Tooth Fairy 2, and I think some of the same set from Tooth Fairy 2.
They were actually shot in different states.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think one was shot in Canada, one was shot in
Florida. Let me believe things about
it. I think one was shot in Florida.
Fake news. Well, hey.
So Matthew.
Yes.
What was your favorite part of Tooth Fairy 2? I mean,
I'm not sure that was on purpose.
Empire Strikes Back.
Well, my favorite part is when Luke and Darth Vader are having their fight, and then right as, you know, Luke's about to get his hand cut off, Darth Vader takes off his vest and goes, "Get your hand!" Damn it, like, ruined that one.
And so, like, you have a banjo?
Reaches out a primal sack and goes, like,
"No, I am getting down."
No, but I don't know. There's a lot of scenes. I mean, it was, you know, for example, Cloud City. I mean, that's not a scene, but whatever. Just the entire aspect of being on Cloud City. I thought that the entire concept of just having like a fake, or not like a manufactured city, just kind of like a city in space, which, you know, did not exist on the planet. It was just its own made up city. It had, you know, I mean, thousands of people living there in the community, essentially. And then that scene where Lando kind of betrays them, and then Darth Vader shows up at dinner. It's like the worst dinner guest ever. Like, "Oh, Lando invited us to dinner. Isn't this great guy? Cloud City, he's a billionaire, and he's got, like, the finest champagnes and liquors and food, and we haven't probably eaten nothing but slugs for the past two movies, for the past 3 years. We live on a fucking ice planet, eating fucking shards of ice and crystals and shit. And then all of a sudden, they go to this nice city, and they got nice buffet and a nice, you know, thing of apples and fruit tray or fruit basket, whatever you call it. And, oh,
Kutraman.
Finally, we're gonna eat." And then suddenly, you open the doors, and there's Vader. Vader just sitting at the fucking end of the table, like he owns the goddamn place. Pretty sure it's Cloud City, which is owned by Lando. He owns the entire city. He built it. Pretty sure he gets to sit at the head of the table, not some, you know, dark suited asshole.
So,
sorry.
What are your thoughts about the movie?
So basically, what you're saying is, Darth Vader is probably Donald Trump's favorite character.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Well, anyways, can I just piggyback on that really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. No, this is true. This is the new thing that I've noticed now with people. People who are actively siding with the bad guys in the movies. No, listen, knowing that they're bad guys. Okay. Because there's one thing, siding with the bad guys and you think they're the good guys. Now people knowingly know these are the bad guys in the movie, and they're like, "Yeah, we're the bad guys. Like, I'm okay with that."
Well, I mean, there's the whole idea of the anti-hero, and there's also the whole idea of the whole like movie being told from the perspective of the normal antagonist. Right. Like, such as like a Joker or something like that, which I can understand siding with that person in certain ways. But, you know, that's for another day.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more of, like, where you know...
Where it's cut and dry that this is good and this is evil.
Like...
And your antagonist of the film is obviously your antagonist. Right.
Like, can I show you the example? Remember that picture I showed you with the American flag? It was, like, the Blue Lives Matter bullshit thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then they got Darth Vader and his Sith lightsaber going through the flag, and it's like, Darth Vader is the bad guy in the story. It's clear that there's no ambiguity that he's the bad. So you're saying that you identify with the known villain of the story, but
I mean, if this was done as a parody,
I don't think it was. That's the thing.
I would totally understand it, because that would be like somebody trying to criticize police force.
It was not.
Which, I mean, I'm whatever. You know, I'm not going to give my personal feelings.
Right.
That,
no, but, it was not criticizing cops. Yeah. It was not criticizing like American military. This was a pro thing. Like, it was like they were like saying, like, "Yes, we're Darth Vader, and we love our country." Like, Darth Vader loves his what?
Well, these are the same confused people that these are the same confused people that put the Punisher logo on cop things, and not understanding that Frank Castle was a vigilante who was trying to kill corrupt cops. Anyways,
right?
That was the thing.
Like, they don't understand this stuff. They don't. They see something that looks cool and dark, and that's like, "Oh, edgy." Ah, oh, that's literally it. And it begins and ends. Okay, that was a weird
aside.
We do this in a lot of our shows. If you listen, we go on to like 50 million topics. Dan Whitney.
So, I'm going to buy. I think I'm designing a shirt for our podcast. Just to let you know, look for it on our TeePublic page. It's going to be a Dan fucking Whitney shirt. Just look for it. I don't know when it's going to come out, but it'll be there.
It's not going to be pornographic, though, is it? It's not
going to
be.
No. Good. It's just going to. I'm going to do something with Larry the Cable Guy. I just got to think it over. We're going to figure it out.
Is it legal to do that, though?
I'm not going to use his face necessarily.
Okay. All right.
So but we'll figure it out.
When are you going to get it done?
We don't know yet.
Tell you what. I'm going to get her done. When I get her done. Anyways, so.
Oh, God.
So write that down on your calendar.
I think you just save up all the Dan Whitney stuff now for when Jamal's here.
Obviously.
Every time he comes here, you're just going to be like, oh, by the way, Dan Whitney.
Jamal's coming. Hey, let's talk about Dan Whitney again.
So,
you are our most frequented guest.
You've been on the show more than anybody else.
So. Yeah, okay.
Right. Now, because this is your third time.
Right.
And
about Dan Whitney.
Yeah. Right.
Third time here. Second time about Dan Whitney.
Right.
So, my favorite part of Vampire Strikes Back is the introduction of Master Yoda.
Mm. Mm.
Okay. I like that. Speaking of piggybacking. Anyways.
yep.
He piggybacks on to Luke. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but I just like the whole misdirection of him not being Yoda and stuff. I think that's kind of cool. I mean, obviously, you know it's Yoda when you even probably back in 83 people or 80 and not 83. I mean 80 when it came out, people probably knew that he was Yoda because I'm sure it was. But Frank Oz's performance is just brilliant in that, and the puppeteering. I mean, of that puppet. In all of those scenes, in this movie and in Jedi, oh my God.
Pretty elderly.
He looks real. He looks so much more real than the CGI one in the prequels. Right. But we're not going to get into that now. We'll talk about that when we talk about the prequels. that's probably it. I just like the whole Yoda scenes, all the Yoda scenes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I had a question. Did I just fuck up the timeline? Was Cloud City introduced in New Hope? And I just totally fucked
no,
up.
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No, because Lando doesn't come in until this movie.
Okay, all right.
Because they did not have any black people in the first movie.
Yeah,
because
they didn't exist in the whole galaxy.
They're on Alderaan, and then Alderaan got destroyed. So
they all lived in one planet.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the people on Alderaan were kind of Latino because Jimmy Smits
Leia's
adopted father. Right. So yeah.
Well, he could have just been one person, though, there, too.
I'm just joking. He's the only Alderaanian I know, if that's what you call him. Alderaanian?
Alderaanian, I think, is what they're called. I don't know. It just sounds like...
I think you guys look at all the wrong places. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
So, anyways.
That's a good shirt idea. Alderaan places.
Alderaan.
I like that.
Looking for love.
And then you're looking for an Alderaan place, and then the planet's exploding on the picture.
Yes.
Whoa.
Let's do this. Okay.
An anti-Valentine's Day t-shirt, kind of.
Yes.
I hate love because I'm single. No.
Looking for love in Alderaan places.
I'll buy two of those.
I'm in the punch drunk mood right now. I you've noticed when we were watching the movie, I was Chatty Cathy. Then I got kind of quiet. Now I'm in the second wind, so I'm back to...
It's okay.
Yeah, we're cool. We're
Why don't we take a break now, guys?
Sure.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about... You know what we'll do when we come back?
What's that?
We'll return.
Ooh.
To talk about Return of the Jedi. That wasn't... whatever. We'll be right back, guys.
Hey, folks. This is Michael E. Cullen II from the podcast that you're listening to right now, along with
Matthew Haas.
We just wanted to tell you about our great, great podcast It's called All Too Real. And on that show, what do we do, Matt?
We watch biopics, and then we talk about whether or not the movie matched up with the real story or not.
So we
it was
we,
a lot more exciting than that, though.
Yeah, right? so we analyze the real story and the real story.
Get it?
Get it?
Real. You know?
Yeah, they're spelled differently, folks. Yeah. You can guess which one I said which way. Anyways, sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. But we talk about great movies like Shattered Glass and The Social Network and A Futile and Stupid Gesture, among others. Those are some of the ones that we've covered so far, and we're going to cover a lot more. So please subscribe on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your great, fun podcasts. And be sure to share it with your friends.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
And make sure you're not afraid to get all too real. Bye-bye.
And we have returned to the Jedi. Oh, wait.
No. Mm-hmm. Actually, we returned back to the show. What we did.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so fucking confused. This is all too real, too.
Yeah. Right. So
Return of the Jedi is the movie we're talking about.
More like Return of the...
Oh, excuse me.
All too real.
Yeah, so well...
It's not Return of the Mac.
No. Good song, though.
That's a good song.
It's a good song. They played that in Legends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it always makes me think of my friend Charlie Mack. But anyways... So... Just a little aside.
Yeah.
Okay, so... let's talk about Return of the Jedi, guys.
Sure.
What is your... I think I'm losing my voice here. What is your favorite... not favorite. No, what is your initial thoughts of the movie there, Jamal Wallace Jedi Knight?
Well, okay. So, Return of the Jedi, for me, it seemed like the tone was a lot more... Like, went down a couple notches. It kind of had that feeling that things were kind of like coming to an end, per se. Like, you could just see that, you know, Vader had already reached his prime. You know, it showed that he was kind of like winding down, kind of like after you get past your midlife crisis, you kind of start, you know, winding down in age and stuff like that. Like, yeah, that's what it's kind of seemed like. It had more of a story. It had action in it. And so it kind of like, I would say Return of the Jedi was more of more dialogue in it. And the dialogue was in it and more of a somber tone to it. You know? So, yeah.
Your initial thoughts there, Matthew?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going through my midlife crisis and I just bought a Ferrari and a bunch of credit cards. And I'm, you know, having a time of my life, so...
You're getting a tattoo in a couple weeks, so I guess technically it's the same.
I mean, I got a Maserati.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's and cool. I've been spending all the rest of my money on Coke and hookers.
Well, okay. And by Coke, you mean like Coca-Cola?
Yeah, and...
Pepsi more than...
Yeah, and by hookers, I mean like these things that you can hang up like pictures with. I call them hookers.
Oh.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. And by Maserati, I mean I don't have a car.
So basically, you just...
Or it's a Mazda.
And by Coke, I do mean Pepsi.
So just basically, basically just buying soda and things to hook your pictures up to. Okay, got it. That's
yes.
Not, that's not too bad.
Yeah. What were y'all thinking, man?
I know. my initial thoughts of Return of the Jedi is, yeah, it's pretty much, I you know, agree with Jamal. It's like, it is kind of lighter in tone from the kind of darkness of Empire. Kind of does remind me of A New Hope a little bit because... There's more jokes. There's kind of like a jokiness to it. You know, the Empire has been kind of embarrassed twice. I mean, they did kind of ascend a little bit at the end of the Empire, but they still are losing to a bunch of just rebels that don't really have any military training for the most part. You know, like official military. Like, they're just being trained by militias, essentially. They're not, you know, going to like the academy. What's that?
It's Guerrilla
Warfare. It is Guerrilla Warfare. That's another good t-shirt.
Actually, it's
Guerrilla Warfare is the guerrilla fighting.
It's actually Ewok Warfare.
Ewok. Warfare. Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Ewoks, you know, they're supposed to be kind of like, quote-unquote, the primitives of whatever. And they're, you know, they're giving it to the stormtroopers who, you know, have gone through training for decades even, probably. And they're sitting there just shooting arrows and throwing rocks at them, and they can't do anything about it. They're like, and getting caught up in nets.
That's very metaphoric.
Like that. Well, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, again, is interesting because, you know, back in the day, I know it's, I always got to bring politics and everything, but, like, back in the day, when the bad guys identified with the bad guys but thought they were the good guys, now they just identify with the bad guys. But back then, they're like, yeah, these natives, they're beating the stormtroopers. Woo! And then at this next breath, they're like, yeah, we got to go attack this country. Wait, aren't you the Empire? Okay. But whatever.
Well, I mean, the thing is, when Lucas when Lucas created the series, he never, shortly after the Vietnam War,
okay,
he never denied the fact, and he actually even said it, the Empire, most people, a lot of the allegories and stuff are for the Nazis and stuff like that, but it's the American government
right.
and the American military. That is what the Empire is.
Stood for, yeah.
Yeah.
In his mind.
Yeah. And so it makes complete sense that you would have like a native people, like the poor Vietnamese people
right.
or something, trying to overcome.
Of course,
yeah.
kind of racist, though, then to you know, say that they're like Ewoks.
No, you know what I mean.
No, not saying yeah. you're saying it, but
no,
for
but
even him to do
no,
that.
I
like,
but I don't even think that's what he intended.
Are you saying because they were short?
Huh?
Is that the racism part, because they were short?
No, it's just because like they're like weird furry creatures.
Because they're furry?
I know, I took you seriously for no reason there. Like, it's like... Sometimes I do that. I'm just like answer questions like, oh yeah, you know, academically. Oh wait, yeah, that was a joke.
It's all right.
The literal sometimes the literalism comes, you know, seeps in here. But I got many personalities. It's not good. I don't mean it like that. No, I don't mean I have many personalities. I don't mean it like no, I've
it's
got.
It's better than not having a personality at all.
It's true. I don't have a multiple personality disorder is what I'm saying. I got multiple. Here, I got multiple facets of a personality. How about that? To my personality.
Yes.
So,
and I have multiple faucets in my apartment.
You do, actually. You've got two at least.
Yes.
Well, three if you count the tub.
Oh, yeah. So I have three so faucets.
Three faucets, yeah. And I guess you could use your toilet as a faucet in a sense.
Yeah, so I would recommend it, but, you know.
I got very faceted faucets. Faceted faucets.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Faceted faucets. Where was I even going with this?
I don't know.
I was supposed to give you my initial thoughts about the movie, and now yes. I went into a weird... political rant. Okay, I think I turn away people from listening to our show because I got to bring politics into every fucking goddamn episode. I try not to.
Here's the thing:
it's not a political show, but every single episode I got to.
We're
somehow...
talking about something called Star Wars.
Well, if you think about it,
that is a political struggle.
It technically is right, just in a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
Yes.
So,
which was written to be an allegory for. Stuff that was going on. So it's perfectly fine to talk about that. If we were in the middle of talking about, like, I don't know, Dennis the Menace Strikes Back.
Oh, that's a huge political metaphor for that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I might have a problem.
No, I don't know. I've never seen it.
I don't know either. I'm just saying.
But anyways, again, yeah. I just mean, because, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know who listens to our show. We might have conservatives here, and I don't make no qualms that I oppose the ideology. I don't even hide that. So again, it's like, you know, they might not want to be hearing me constantly every single fucking episode, you know,
but
essentially bashing their beliefs.
Well, I mean, they have a choice. It's
they
either
do have
your politics or Dan fucking Whitney.
Yes. Good so. Comeback. I like that. The rule three. Boom.
And they can't say neither.
You only have those two choices?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
Yeah, well.
I've been listening to the wrong podcasts.
Right. So it's a good movie. That's my initial, it's a good movie. That's it.
Okay. My initial thoughts are, so there's this little guy named Mikey.
Wait, what?
This is my story.
Oh, okay.
All right. This little guy named Mikey, back in 1983, he had a next door neighbor who had all of the Star Wars figures. She was like a year older than me. She was so cute. Her and her family invited me to go see Return of the Jedi with them.
Oh, nice.
On opening day.
Nice.
And so Mikey went. And this is my favorite Star Wars movie because of that.
Nice.
Because of your experience.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But Empire's a better movie. Anyways, so...
I think everybody would agree with you on that, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, so my thing is, I love this movie. I love the Ewoks. I love everything everybody hates about this movie.
Same thing for The Last Jedi.
No.
yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Well, I do like the things they stole from Return of the Jedi and put in, like, no, Last Jedi I do love. I thought you were talking about, Rise of Skywalker.
No.
Sorry, I'm mixing movies up. So, but anyways, I love this movie. I love everything about it. I don't like a lot of the changes they made to it. I miss the Ewok song at the end of the movie that they decided to get rid of and replace with another song. I miss the original singing in Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
why did they take that away from me, Jamal?
Honestly, I think that was a little over the top, honestly. Yeah, like, especially when the guy who was singing, and then when he gets in front of the camera, he opens his mouth so wide, you can, like, see his little uvula in the back of his mouth.
He looks at the fucking camera.
He broke the fourth wall.
Yes.
You're not supposed to do that unless you're...
In a galaxy far, far away, he broke the fourth wall.
You only break the fourth wall if you acknowledge that you're breaking the fourth wall, and then it becomes...
Or the director instructs you to break the wall.
Well, yeah.
And you only do it like that if you're Zach Morris. So,
the last time I checked, Zach Morris is not Zach Vader.
Saved by the Galaxy.
Yes. Yeah. So, anyways, I really like the movie. I think it is one of, I mean, the performances are great because everybody's so in their roles and they know, you know, you can tell that they're having fun in the movie. That's what I like about it a lot. It is a lot more fun than Empire. And I do like the last showdown with Luke and the Emperor and all that stuff.
Okay,
that's cool. Okay, so my next question: favorite part of the film?
Okay,
Jamal Wallace Jedi Knight.
Man, I got like a little audience maker. No, I'm just but actually, okay, this is not cool. See, I like movies with like really good dialogue to it. So, my favorite part was actually the scene when Luke and Leia were talking. It was just after, you know, the Ewoks, you know, had them over and, you know, they were having like a little party or something. And then Luke and Leia were there talking on the bridge, because in that scene, they actually finally realized who is who. Like, they know now that they are brother and sister. It's like they finally put it all together, you know, and then... Luke had to say, okay, this is where I have to go now. I have to go confront Vader. I have to do this, you know, to seal his destiny as well as Darth Vader. So that I like that part.
What is your favorite part? Matthew.
I love
Haas.
That was a weird accent.
When you go.
Go. Well, let's see. That scene, like where you know the guy breaks the fourth wall, is the best scene in the entire series, as far as I'm concerned. Out of nine movies.
Hey, Jamal, do you want to be my new co-host?
Come on!
I can't believe he was like
those graphics are so awesome, where you can obviously tell that it's a new graphic being superimposed onto old graphics, so you can obviously tell that it's not the original thing. It's the awesome.
The editor spent 12 hours on Final Cut. Okay,
yeah. It's like putting a cartoon character on top of an actual movie, and it just sits there. It's awesome.
Hey, Jamal. So, not only do I want you to be my new co-host. I need a new best friend.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm joking. No, what's your real favorite scene?
I don't know. There's so many.
To be fair, we'll say you have two parts.
Two parts. I mean, I guess I like the end with, you know, Vader saves Luke, of course. That's an easy one. But, you know... I guess just the lightsaber fight is good. Like I was saying when we were watching it, it's a lot. You know, it's to borrow a phrase from Pierce Hawthorne's character and Community. The lightsaber duel was streets ahead than it was, you know, of A New Hope. Like they were using their legs, they were actually doing like foot movements. It actually looked like a sword fight as opposed to A New Hope, where it's two old guys going, "I'm." Hitting sticks against each other without walking. Yeah.
Well, they had better sabers too.
That's what I'm saying. So that looked cooler. But again, it's like this is not one of my favorite movies of the series, so it's kind of hard to find like the best, you know, whatever. Because I do like Empire a lot. I like A New Hope. Because again, see, it's like a whole experience thing, right? Well, like A New Hope was my thing because I went to go see A New Hope in the theaters when they did the reissue, and I saw it with you know, my friend Aaron, I think a couple of other kids, like when you're in junior high. So like that became like now that memory is like solidified as going to seeing A New Hope, and
right.
We got to like actually go, like we didn't have to have our parents like chaperoning, like we actually got to go alone in the theater, like, oh, we're, you know, we're kids, but we're alone, you know, type of, yeah, you know.
No, that's so the coolest thing.
It is. It was. It was like, oh, my God, like, you know. And, of course, nowadays, it's probably too dangerous to even fucking do that because of.
I
know,
used to sneak in movie theaters when I was in junior high.
Awesome. Yeah. I did that once, actually. You know what it was, too? Worst fucking movie ever to do it to, too. One time I broke the law to sneak into movie. Batman and fucking Robin. I mean, not like he's fucking Robin, but like it's Batman and Robin, the movie with George Clooney. Yeah. We might review that one sometime.
Yes, too. We probably will.
You just paused there for a second. Like,
So, my favorite. Are you done, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm
done. Okay, yeah, just making sure.
Yeah, I'm done.
My favorite part of the film is when they're near the Sarlacc pit. And the lightsaber pops out of R2-D2 and Luke gets in this, and it goes into Luke's hand, and then he starts to go crazy, and then they free themselves, and then it goes on, and then Leia kills Jabba. I like that whole scene.
That's pretty cool.
Boba Fett falls into the Sarlacc pit and all that stuff and everything, and they're all saving each other, and that's just exciting. Gets me all happy.
And this too, because the camaraderie, they're all saving each other. They're like team. They're like a trio almost. They're Leia literally fucking chokes the life out of Jabba just by pulling on that chain.
And you have Han and Lando saving each other. That's really cool.
Right. Yeah. They're buddies from before. And
Which we find out in Solo.
Right.
When, speaking of Streets Ahead, you know, Donald Glover from Community plays a young Lando.
Yeah. Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino.
He's a great actor, writer, he's musician. Really, I mean, it's like,
he's a good looking dude.
He is a good looking dude. I mean, he's got, you know, a lot of.
He's another fucking Terry Crews.
He's like a rare gem among you know.
He's another Terry Crews or Justin Timberlake. Somebody that pisses me off because they have so much fucking talent.
Whoa, wait a minute! You have talent. Hold on.
No, I do, but it makes me mad when I see somebody that should not have that much fucking talent in one person. But I love both of. I love all those guys.
Hey, so. But also too, if you do,
then there's Dan Whitney.
Oh, of course,
who has the talent in the fucking world.
I mean, he's got it all combined. It's kind of like in a movie where, you know, some of the people die, and then all their abilities just go into the one person's body.
That's that force. That's the force.
Yeah.
He has the force, definitely.
Oh, yeah. He's got the force of shit.
Force got her done.
With stupid Prilosec bullshit. And I'm sorry. See, I sputter.
You have a purple lightsaber like Mace Windu.
Why?
Because purple is the color of Prilosec.
Is it? Don't you dare fucking ruin Mace Windu for me.
Well, he's ruined my childhood
now. God damn it.
My childhood is now ruined
by Mace Windu. Oh man. Boy. See, that's a whole character I'd love to talk about. How the Mace Windu, how he came about. So, like, when George Lucas was first writing, like, the very first drafts of Star Wars, he didn't even have it wasn't even called Star Wars. It was like, it had like this really weird, long name. And one of the first characters that he actually had as like the idea of like the main, like, kind of like the Luke Skywalker, his name was Mace Windu. And then later on, for the prequels, he's got a character named Mace Windu, who is not the main character, but like,
one of the kids in the Ewok adventures,
right?
First name is Mace.
Oh, okay. Well, so he's had this name for a while, the Mace Windu or Mace Windu. Yeah.
I have a question. Is it true? I heard a rumor that apparently when he was writing Star Wars, like Episode 4, that Mace Windu was supposed to be basically like Obi-Wan.
The Mace Windu was going to be like the Skywalker.
He was going to be kind of like Luke, kind of.
And then eventually he became Luke Starkiller. And then
right, Starkiller, yeah.
Which they ended up using in Force Awakens as the name of the base.
Right, okay.
Near the base.
Starkiller base.
Didn't they also do Anakin Starkiller at one point, too? Or is that, or not?
Well, it might have been, yeah, because, I mean, the whole thing, they were probably going to try to, you know, the whole family was supposed to be Starkiller.
But anyway, it was interesting that like, we could have lived, like, an alternate timeline, like, with the whole Infinite Universe thing. We could have had a movie called, like, the Book of Glyph or whatever it was called, starring Mace Windu as the main character instead of Star Wars. I don't think it would have sold as many tickets with that name.
Yeah.
It was a weird name. It was like the Book of Myrrh or something like that. Like, wow. Nothing that you would really like think is great.
So, final question here. Favorite movie of the trilogy? Go, Jamal.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Woo!
Favorite movie of the trilogy? Go, Matt.
The Star Wars Holiday Special. Holiday Special. Life Day. My favorite holiday. I actually celebrate Life Day now instead of Christmas. I'm not doing Christmas this year. I'm doing Life Day. Chewbacca is going to be at the manger. If you remove him, I'm going to remove.
Is Lumpy going to be there?
I'm going to remove your head from your body if you remove.
Is this
Chewbacca.
Like? Is this like Festivus?
No, it's Life Day. That's the holiday of the Wookiees. Mm. No, what were you going to ask?
What is your favorite movie of the trilogy?
No, before that, I mean, you were going to say something.
Well, I just said, is Lumpy going to be there too?
Who's Lumpy? I don't know who Lumpy
You've
is.
Obviously not seen the holiday special.
I have seen. No, I haven't. I've seen.
Lumpy is one of Chewbacca's relatives.
I've seen 10 minutes of it, and I've seen a review of it. Because I can't get past that fucking music video bullshit. I don't understand how the stormtroopers are going to. They're trying to kidnap Chewbacca or arrest him or whatever, and then the little kid's like, oh, check out this music video thing with this little hologram bullshit. And then the stormtroopers are just like, oh, watch it. Like, who does that? Like I imagine that this hologram is kind of like the equivalent of a TV. So it's nothing that's like special that you haven't seen before. So it's like the equivalent of like the cops are coming to arrest me. And then my non-existent son that doesn't really exist in real life, just for the argument's sake, he's like, oh, check out MTV. And then the cops are just watching the MTV fucking music video as everyone else is escaping the goddamn house. What kind of idiots are these guys? Anyways, so
they're programmed stormtroopers.
What was the question again? Sorry, Jamal.
These are programmed stormtroopers. You know that, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, they're real people. I don't know. Whatever.
What is your favorite movie in the trilogy?
Oh, the trilogy.
I think I'm kind of scared to ask now.
shit. What was it?
That's not one of the movies.
No, it's not. Shit.
God damn it. Okay, you got 1 through 9.
No, he's got
a. I'm trying to think of this. I'm trying
this
to think.
Trilogy.
Oh, this trilogy. I thought you meant the whole.
No. Oh, because we're okay. Going to still talk about the other movies in the
saga.
Are
you sure you want to do that? Because I've already rambled through this one. Okay.
Oh, no, that's fine. We'll be good.
Okay, of this trilogy, because I was going to say Rise of Skywalker, obviously. It's the best movie of all time, ever. There's no flaws in it whatsoever. Everything about it is
the
perfect.
Views of Matthew Haas do not necessarily reflect the views of All Too Real 2.
Nor do they reveal the views of Matthew Haas. But, but the favorite of this trilogy, 4 through 6, I'm still going with Life Day. I mean, Holiday Special. It counts.
He will not let
it counts go. Because no, it counts because Holiday Special takes place in between A New Hope and Empire. So technically, it's part of the trilogy. I'm sticking with Holiday Special, which I've not seen. But okay,
I think he's doubling down.
I'm doubling down on this. If I will actually commit right now to all of our listeners, if you pledge $100. Each, mind you, 10 people pledge $100 to our, so a total $1,000, or it's just $1,000 equivalent thereof, $1,000 to our Patreon account. I will film myself, so it's, there's proof of delivery. I will film myself watching the holiday special for 16 hours straight. I will not take a break, except for like maybe a bathroom thing, but like, you know, and I'll eat while watching it, so I won't, I'll eat all
will
my
you meals. Live stream yourself watching
I'll live it. Well, I'll record or live stream.
Okay.
Either or and or. So if we fuck it, if we just do $500. All right, we'll go to $500.
$500, he'll do it for 8 hours. $1,000, he'll do it for 16.
No, I'll still do it for 16 hours. I'll still do it for 16 hours for $500. And the equivalent doesn't have to be, you know, $100 each person. Just the equivalent thereof, $500.
I'm gonna watch this live.
American dollars, mind you. We're not doing like, you know,
different,
you know, Russian currency or any, you know, any kind of Trump stuff like that. We're, you know, we're doing, you know, so I will live stream and or record myself watching the holiday special for 16 hours straight. And I will take a break for like a bathroom, that kind of thing, obviously, because I'm not gonna hurt my body by keeping, you know, fluids and stuff. And that's not,
we are not strapping him to the chair his eyes open, you know, Clockwork Orange style here.
But and for an extra $200, making it $700, I will not only watch the holiday special, I will go on a record going to every single fan Comic-Con. I will double down and go to Comic-Con and say holiday special is my favorite, and I will not back down.
Much it costs to go to Comic-Con.
Maybe next year, not this year, but
there might be diminishing returns here. I'm just letting
next year. And okay, but the ticket will be paid for by someone else. I won't pay for my own ticket, so someone's got to pay for my ticket. But I will go to Comic-Con or any other kind of fandom place, event, whatever. And I will commit to this. I will not break character. I don't care how much hate I get from like alt-right nerd bros or whatever. I'm committing to this.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to hate you watching the Star Wars Christmas special.
What's that?
Holiday special.
I don't think they're going to hate you watching the Star Wars holiday special. Like, if they do, they probably have issues.
Most Star Wars fans have issues.
Well, there are a lot of publications, so they probably do have issues of Star Wars.
Well, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But so $700, I will. $500, I will watch it 16 hours straight. $700, if the ticket's provided, for free of cost. I will go to like Comic-Con or any kind of event, and I will double down. I will not break character.
Wear a t-shirt that says, I celebrate Life Day.
I will unironically wear a t-shirt that says, I celebrate Life Day, and I will not make jokes about it. I will not smirk. I will not grin. I will be 100% committed to believing. I'll actually believe. See, you know, like how old spies, they used to like actually train them to believe their actual stories, so much so that even if they got drugged or like were had to drink like at a bar to like keep their cover, that they would never ever deviate from their story, no matter how inebriated or how drugged up they were. I will commit at the level of like a spy. We got a nice little pen thing there. What are you doing there? Smoking a pen? Is that what's going on here? Vaping? Pen vaping? Vaping's bad for you. You know that, right?
Terrible. So we'll just, I guess we could just leave it at the part that your favorite is the holiday special.
Well, only if I get a $500. If we get $500, I'll still, I'm not going to say it right now. But like, if we get $500, I'll start saying it. I'm not going to give a freebie right now, no. I'd say Empire Strikes Back is the favorite.
Return of the Jedi.
Well, yeah, you already said that, you know. Yeah, that was your favorite experience.
That's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes
sense. It's my favorite Star Wars movie, period. So
didn't I already say New Hope was though my favorite? Whatever, who cares?
But I will tell you that you know, Empire is really good too. Mm. But Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So everyone, you know, get on board here. I will live stream.
I'm fine with you giving us money in any way whatsoever, people. You can check out our Patreon. There's a link in the show notes. You can also, you know, buy t-shirts at our TeePublic. There'll be links in the show notes. You can check out our friend Jamal Wallace Knight at Gaming After Dark. There'll be links in the show notes, maybe. Mm-hmm. If he provides them. And
Mixer.com/gamingafterdark live stream every Saturday between 10 and 10:30 Eastern Time.
That is Eastern Standard Time. That is the time on the East Coast of the United States.
Yes. PM.
PM. That is PM, not AM.
Right.
And I love Return of the Jedi.
And I love, yeah.
I love Lamp.
Okay, that's an interesting little reference there.
Yes.
Burgundy. Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so... I'm like...
So, my...
Are you just pointing at things and just saying that you love them?
Any final thoughts before we close this bad boy out?
Who are you talking about?
Any of you.
You have any, Jamal?
I guess final thoughts is... I just like... The originals 4, 5, and 6. So, yeah.
That's awesome. My final thoughts is I just love Star Wars in general. It's always, you know, always been a part of my life. General Leia, yeah. General, I still call her General / Princess Leia. I can't give up the princess part.
No.
I know that some people...
You know, they give people general titles in the Star Wars movies really easily.
Right.
I'm just saying
that. I know people were trying to do general to make it, like, to kind of get away, like, oh, she's a princess. I'm like, for one thing, I don't see her being the princess as being, like, negative or...
No, she's a Disney princess.
Somehow man. Takes away from her, like... You know, like her badassery, if that's even a word or whatever. Like, she could still be a princess and kick ass and be a good general. Anyway, so, but yeah, I love the books. You know, I've been reading some of the books, like The Dawn of the Jedi, the Lost Tribes of the Sith. You know, I've got a book called Shadows of Empire for 24 years. I still have not read yet. I plan on reading that soon. I like the comic books for Darth Vader.
I'd read those, but I don't know how to read.
You don't know how to read? Mm. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. I like the Clone Wars. I like the Clone Wars TV series. The Rebels TV series.
Rebels is better.
But yeah, I like Clone Wars better, personally, but I like them both. But yeah, I really love Star Wars as a cultural event, I guess is the word. You know, it's been around for 43 years. It doesn't look like it's... What are you with you and the fake smoking? Do not start smoking, Mike.
No, I'm not. I'm just pretending.
No, I know, but don't even pretend, because then you'll want to do it for real, and then it'll be a bad habit. That's how it gets started.
That's how it works?
It's how it gets started. Oh, okay. When you mimic things, you start to... Yeah. That's how it all works. That's why all actors who play like serial killers end up becoming serial killers.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is like they're eating cereal.
Or you could be like the guy that's the president of the Ukraine.
Yeah.
He was an actor who played president of the Ukraine.
Oh, really?
And now he's the current president
of Ukraine. That is, like, meta. Like, that is...
Art imitates life.
Anyway, yeah. Star Wars is a cool thing. 43 years. Does not look like it's slowing down at all. You know, I really think for, like, the next 50 to, like, 60 years, this is still going to be a thing. We're going to have literally generations of people... talking about this as though people talk about Shakespeare. I'm not even saying that as a joke. Like, I truly believe that. Like, right. So that's, you know.
And my final thoughts here are, I love Return of the Jedi. And be sure to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. All the info's in the show notes. Share with your friends. Give us money. Wait, that sounded really desperate.
Just, it'd be nice if you
give
did.
Us money, and Matt will do crazy things.
Yes.
Yes. What? We'll come up with some more crazy things for him to do.
Yeah, I'm going to degrade myself. Well, not like that. That sounded bad. But no, I'm not. Never mind.
But you could also, like, you know, give us money and pick out what movies we do audio commentaries to and other things of that nature. Just check out our Patreon. It's fun, folks. Make sure you check out Jamal. Like to thank Jamal for joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
And that is all. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.